lyrics to the song Precious Name. Later, William Howard Doan composed the music, and Precious Name was popular in the late 1800s and appeared in hymnals all throughout the 1900s. And this song weaves beautiful threads of truth all throughout its composition. Lyrics go like this. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Then the chorus. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of heaven and joy of heaven. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. At the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Amen. Precious Name was one of three song titles inscribed on Lydia Baxter's grave marker. Robert Cottrill of WorldwiseBibleStudies.com wrote that Lydia did not have an easy life. She faced many physical challenges, which ultimately stole her mobility. She spent much of her adult life confined to a bed, but those limitations did not hinder her from studying God's word, writing songs from her heart. Lydia was outgoing and cheerful, offering encouragement and advice to others. Her home was always open to preachers and teachers and evangelists. Michael Hahn wrote about her accomplishments on the Discipleship Ministries website, and I quote, "When her visitors were astonished at how she could remain so cheerful in spite of her physical condition, she would respond, 'I have a very special armor. I have the name of Jesus. When the tempter tries to make me blue or despondent, I mention the name of Jesus, and he can't get through to me anymore.'" End quote. I don't know if you've ever sung her song before. I never actually heard it before going through this lesson, but her song is still sung in some churches today, in some of those old hymnals. It beautifully proclaims that the name of Jesus is a powerful tool against the enemy. The name of Jesus is a source of joy and comfort for those who call on him. We call on his name for protection and to help us overcome temptation. Her lyrics remind us Jesus is the King of Kings, and one day, one glorious day, we will crown with many crowns when we finally reach our home. Amen. So this morning, the topic is Precious Name. We've been going through some songs this month. This is a final lesson in that series titled Precious Name. Our key scripture for today is Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Now, the first name of God we heard was not Jesus. That came 4,000 years into human history. Many of the Old Testament names of God were descriptive of who he was and what he did. Names such as Elohim, the powerful creator, Jehovah Rapha, the divine healer, and El Shaddai, the almighty God. These give us insight into the greatness of our God. And there are so many more. El Roi, the God who sees me, that's a great one. You just don't feel seen, you feel alone. Yeah, he sees you. He knows where you're at. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Every one of those names and many more that exist and that we find in the Old Testament give us a little more insight, one more glimpse at another facet that makes up the nature of God. In his book, The Oneness of God, David K. Bernard made this observation. Yahweh, Jehovah, is the redemptive name of God in the Old Testament, Exodus 6, verses 3 through 8. And it is the unique name by which the one true God distinguished himself in the Old Testament from all other gods, Isaiah 42, 8. It means the self-existing one or the internal one. This concept also appeared in the phrases, I am that I am, and simply, I am, used by God himself. Used by God of himself. Each of those names, and that's the end of that quote, each of those names, though highly revered, pointed to a time when the name above every name would be revealed. In the fullness of time, God would reveal his name and his covenant name to humanity. That name is Jesus. As we look at some of the names of God, we can see ways that God has helped and ministered to his people. Think about Jehovah Jireh, which again means the Lord will provide. Think about all the time that God has provided in your life. I know there's been many in my life. He made a way where there was no way. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord my healer. I think of how God, my wife got into a car accident 3 years ago this March, and was in severe pain, and went up to family camp and wasn't even praying for healing, and went down and was talking to the Lord, and God instantly healed her. God is Jehovah Rapha in our lives, in our family. We have seen that. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Think of all the times when your mind and your heart were in chaos, but God gave you peace, or you needed an answer, you needed direction, and you just walked in the path of peace, and you knew that the Lord was leading and guiding. Amen. Jehovah Ra means the Lord my shepherd. Think of the times that God has led you and fed you. Jehovah Shema means the Lord is there. Think of all the times that you just needed God to be there, and he was. Just need you to, I don't need answers, God. I just need to feel you. I just need to know that you're there, and he's right there along. I've been there so many times myself. Amen. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Through every one of these names, we see how God desires to have a covenant relationship with his people. He does not have to. He's the creator. We're the creation. He's Lord. We're not. He's master. We're servants. He doesn't have to have any relationship with us. He created us. That could be enough. That could have been enough. But for him, it wasn't enough. He wanted to be close to us, be in covenant with us. So every time he worked one of those miracles and his people looked up to the heavens and said, I know who you are. You are my provider, my healer, the God who sees me. My God is there. And so they use these names to describe God, to call on God. The people of Israel were extremely careful to honor the name of the Lord. They didn't want to break the commandment that they should not take the name of the Lord in vain. But unfortunately, over time, their high regard for his holy name has been diluted. We should absolutely honor God in every possible way. Knowing him and knowing his name honors him, because he is the one who wants to be in covenant relationship with us. Knowing his name does not make us proud, but it makes us humble and reverent. Exodus 27, verse 7, we reference that. It talks about, it teaches us to not take his name in vain, but with the revelation of his precious name in Matthew 1:21, and we've heard this over the past month, the angel told Mary that you will call his name Jesus. And with that revelation comes the responsibility that we have to honor and call on that holy name. Paul's letter to the Colossians has admonished us to do everything in Jesus' name. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We pray in Jesus' name. That gives honor to God. We are saved exclusively by Jesus' name. That honors God. The more we include the name of Jesus in our daily lives, the more we honor him. The name Jesus means Yahweh, our salvation, or Yahweh saves. It comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua or Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. When the time was right to reveal his holy name, God orchestrated everything to take place in perfect timing. So as we know, we've heard this last month, Mary was engaged to Joseph. Maybe we've heard it several times the last month. I did it with my kids. We've heard it in church, etc. Before they were married, an angel appears to Mary, tells her she's going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and she's going to give birth to a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And then Joseph finds out. Here he is in a culture where it was very frowned upon, and finds out that his wife or his fiance is pregnant. And he knows it's not his. And she tries to tell him this crazy story. God talked to me, and he overshadowed, and it's God's, it's God. And can you imagine Joseph? Yeah. Okay. That sounds way too crazy. And he was planning to end the engagement, but then an angel appeared to Joseph. And he tells him all about it, tells him the plan. This child is going to save his people from their sins. Can you imagine that scene after that dream? The doubting, the skeptic, maybe the, you know, maybe feeling a little rejected, feeling like everything just got ruined. And then he gets a dream. I can just imagine that scene. He runs to Mary's house. I get it. I had a dream last night. I was visited in a dream. I get it. Yes, I'm going to stay engaged. We'll get married. This baby is of God. And then he says, we're supposed to call his name. And I can just see her join in at the same time. Jesus. They both say it. Because both of them had been told the same thing. I think about it kind of like when we felt the call to adopt. And I come down to the altar from like 15 rows back where the stulps are sitting. I was sitting back there, come up here to the front. I'm like, I think the Lord just talked to me and that we're supposed to, it feels like, adopt. What a powerful thing. Amen. And this was his name. It's finally time for Isaiah's prophecies to be fulfilled. What are those? Isaiah 7:14. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6, another prophecy. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. God revealed his name to Mary and Joseph first, as we see in Matthew 1:22-23. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. His name is Jesus. Mary and Joseph knew first. Soon the world would know. Jesus came to build a relationship with humanity, bring salvation. His mission focused on his people. To know his name was to know his mission. He came to save. When we call on Jesus' name, it becomes personal with us. Jesus is Jehovah, our Savior. He came for us. He's not just Elohim, our Creator, Jehovah Sabaoth, the one who fights for us, Jehovah Roi, the one who leads us. He is Jehovah who came for us. Jesus who came to save us. Before Jesus Christ came, the world was dark. Israel was dark. They were under the oppressive rule of Rome. Before he came into our lives, we were walking around spiritually lost. We were walking without purpose, existing without hope. We were helpless to help ourselves. But when he came and we took on his precious name, our lives completely changed. And if you have not taken on his name, they can be completely changed today. God revealed his name as Jesus, our Savior. We didn't have to search anywhere else. Or for anyone else. We finally found the one who found us. He came to save us. We're not identified with the world anymore. Now we identify with Jesus Christ. We put off the old person who we used to be. We're no longer dead in sin. Now we are dead to sin and no longer slaves to it. We cast off sin like an old tattered coat that we no longer want to wear. We live alive, putting on a new coat of salvation with the Spirit of God living inside us. We exchange a life of sin for the glory of a new creation in Christ Jesus. But without the blood of Jesus, our debt of salvation could not never have been paid. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, and through his blood we're forgiven and free, set right with God when we believe and obey the gospel. If we look at 1 John 1:7, it tells us the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. All sin. No other person could have offered a sinless sacrifice on the cross to redeem us from sin. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice because Jesus was the only sinless sacrifice. And only through his blood are we cleansed by baptism in Jesus' name. His blood washes away all our sin. His name is a precious name above all others because by the name of Jesus we are saved. Paul wrote in Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, "For this reason, God had highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is a fulfillment of another prophecy made in Isaiah 45 that, quote, unto me, Jehovah said, every knee will bow and every tongue will proclaim. And Paul attributed that very verse to Jesus. And one day that will happen. One day that will happen. When Jesus returns with all his holy angels and with the church, every knee will bow and every tongue will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. No other name can heal us. No other name can provide for us or protect us. Only the precious name of Jesus forgives our sins and raises us up when he returns to take us home to heaven. Jesus' name is power, whether we shout it or whisper it. When we call on the name of Jesus, we demonstrate our faith in him. We show him we believe he is who he said he is. We show our faith in the God who owns that name. When we call on the name of Jesus, we give God the opportunity to meet our needs. Calling on his name is confessing Jesus is the name of Almighty God in the Old Testament. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. His confession is more than just simply saying Jesus is Lord. For Jesus taught himself in the Gospels that there would be people who came to him and said, Lord, Lord, we called you Lord, and we even cast out devils in your name. We healed the sick in your name. And Jesus would respond to them, I never knew you. What a thought. What a thought. Makes you, challenges me at least, serving in ministry, helping out in different ways at the church. Lord, am I going to be someone one day that just says, Lord, Lord, I did all this stuff for you? Or will I have relationship with him? Will I have relationship with him? Jesus will respond to some, I never knew you. I never had relationship with you. I was never in covenant with you. Folks, it's more than just serving in ministry. I appreciate all those who serve. I'm so thankful that they're having Kids Super Church. Why? Because it's going to be another hour without... No, I'm just joking. Just joking. Well, kind of serious. But I know it's not just, oh, thankfully I've got a babysitter. No, they're ministering. I'm thankful for that. But you could be involved as a Sunday school teacher and not know Jesus. You could stand behind this pulpit and not know Jesus and just regurgitate words. You could serve as an usher. You could serve as anything. It's not all about ministry. Yes, we should get into that and give back and reach out and help be a smiling face at the door because we want folks to feel the love of Jesus, but it's really all about relationship. I'm thankful for what Jennifer does with our ASL, our sign language deaf ministry. But you know what? You can sign and you can just interpret and not have a relationship with Jesus. Why? Because we've hired people when we didn't have enough folks to sign. We've literally hired people who don't know anything about God, who've come and signed a marriage session. They don't know Jesus. Well, I'm assuming. I don't know. But maybe they do. But you can do all these things. And so we need to be careful to have that relationship. It must be more than confessing that Jesus is Lord. It must be more than just believing he is Lord. We must respond in obedience to what he has commanded and called us to do. Again, a couple months ago in the teaching, it was the whole spectrum of grace where, yeah, we can't do anything to achieve salvation. And some folks live in that grace and like, I don't need to do anything. And then the whole other side of the spectrum is, I earn my salvation by the works I do and the ministries I'm in. No, you can't save yourself. But it is. It's God's grace which then just leads us to action, to obedience, to doing things, to responding to his word. Perhaps the most radical ally of the Old Testament Jehovah was Saul. in the New Testament. Saul was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians because they were confessing Jesus as Lord. But to Paul, in his Jewish mind, it was very simple. There was only one Lord, and that was Jehovah. Therefore, Jesus could not be Lord. He was only a man, and Jehovah would never come as a man. Would he? Then suddenly on the road, a light shone so brightly, Saul fell to the ground. He heard a voice in Acts 22:7-8. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I answered, who are you, Lord? He said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, the one you are persecuting. God got Saul's attention. He gave Saul instructions to go into the city and wait to hear what to do. Then when the light was gone, only darkness surrounded him. He was blind. His companions led a very humble and blind Saul to Damascus, where a Jesus follower named Ananias prayed for Saul to receive his sight. Saul was instantly healed. Ananias said God had called Saul to be his witness and implored him in Acts 22:16, and now why are you delaying? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And Saul did exactly that immediately. The urgency with which Ananias told Saul what to do is how God wishes to speak to all of us. When we discover who Jesus is, we should never be reluctant to take on his name, to wear his name, to bear his name, to be baptized in Jesus' name as soon as possible. And in fact, Paul and Silas, they were imprisoned, they were beaten, they're in the innermost parts of the jail. Now, this is in Acts 16, and you know, the earthquake happens, the chains are set free, and they stumble upon the jailer who's about to take his own life because he's like, I'm going to get killed anyways. I let all these people free. And they're like, no, hold on. They preach the name of Jesus. He gets it. And that very night, beaten, freshly out of prison, could have escaped. They said, no, we need to baptize you in Jesus' name. And that very night, the jailer and his whole household were baptized because they understood nothing should stop us from being baptized as soon as we understand the beauty, the power that is in the name of the one who bears the name of Jesus. Calling on the name of Jesus in baptism boldly demonstrates our spiritual faith in him and identification with him. Saul, known as Paul, became the apostle to the Gentiles and wrote many letters to the churches in the New Testament. Philippians, it was to the church at Philippi. Corinthians, church at Corinth. Romans, the church in Rome, etc., etc. And in them, in those letters, he could not stop writing about the precious name, the name of Jesus. Not long after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he and John were on their way to prayer. They come across a man who was unable to walk since birth. He was begging for coins. They didn't have anything to give except the name of Jesus, and that was enough. Peter said in Acts 3, 6 and 7, says, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up. And at once his feet and ankles became strong. Wow. This man's ankle bones that had never worked. His feet that had never walked that day. He stood up, leapt, and walked into the temple with Peter and John, praising God. Something he had never been allowed to do before because he was disabled, but not anymore. When we call on the name of Jesus, we engage all power in heaven and earth because we call on the one who has all power in heaven and earth. Jesus promised in John 14:14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. We have access to healing, deliverance, peace, and the answer in prayer when we simply speak the name of Jesus in prayer. Jesus included a very powerful statement in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. We can be assured Jesus is waiting. We just need to ask. Thinking about this morning, have you ever called on the name of Jesus and he was there? I've heard of stories of accidents that could have happened. They shouted Jesus and the car corrected, or the car missed the other car that was coming, or whatever the case. I think we all have stories, and I just wanted to testify and share about how we've called on the name of the Lord. 7 years ago, this time of year, right before Christmas, my company shut down that I was working for. Small business here in the Madison area. Lost my job. Went down with the ship. Man, I was blessed with that company. God used a very difficult, difficult to say the least, man, to bless us. And I don't regret going down with the ship because they had done so much for us, him and his wife. His wife got a stroke. He basically checked out, and the company crashed. A wonderful job. Had been there for 14 years. We wouldn't have been able to adopt two boys without that job. Shortly after losing my job, I came on staff here at Calvary Gospel, and Fiona eventually joined the staff as our part-time music director. It was a path we felt led to go down, but it came with a substantially tighter budget. Let's just put it that way. We were good stewards, though, of our finances, and a year and a half later, 5 years ago this fall, Fiona felt led of the Lord that she needed to be done as the music director. She didn't want to, from a personal standpoint. She loved it. But God told her she needed to be done. And so she approached me, and I was like, what? Let's talk finances, my dear. We have to have this. She's like, Phil, I've got to be done. And I remember really struggling with it. Our tight budget was about to be cut in another third. And little did we know that we were going to get a call that year on Christmas Eve to go adopt Malachi. I'm a logical guy. I'm very detailed. I don't jump. And I honor those who can just be like, oh, let's just do it. And just do it without thinking. Because I look at here's the plan. Here's the finances. Here's the structure. Here's the process. That's just how my brain works. And it didn't add up. I'm like, God, if you truly talk to Fiona, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. This is not going to work, God. I don't see how it can work. We had an emergency fund and a little savings on top of that, but I knew this step would be a step of faith because even the tightest budget still meant a negative budget. And so we called on the name of Jesus 5 years ago. And I said, if this is your will, we'll follow. But we just need you to be Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Because I don't remember the numbers, in 10 months, we'll be depleted. I'm throwing out something like that. Like, by the end of a year, God, we're going to be done. We can't go farther. We're still on a very tight budget, but I can testify that 5 years later, God has indeed provided, and we have not dipped into our emergency fund one penny. It's been five of the coolest years of our lives watching God work. For example, this past summer, one of my aunts, and it's also kind of frustrating, but I'll explain that, but one of my aunts who doesn't have kids of her own, she's getting up there. She decided to bless my siblings and I with a small amount of money. And I'm thinking, yes, we can get ahead. We can do that project in the house. I don't remember what the project was because we never did it. But I'm like, we can do it. Yes, this is finally we're going to get ahead, not just be like trusting God all the time. Like we can, thank you, Jesus. This is such a blessing. And yeah, I was... He was providing ahead of time because thankfully we didn't spend anything right away, but within 2 months, some pricey car repairs happened. Our washer and dryer both went out. Washer definitely. And then I tried to fix it, and then it fell over and something broke. And I'm like, I was really trying, guys. Should have just called someone, but, I'm going to be there. It was broken anyways. Dryer went out. They both had to be replaced. And I look back, and I wanted to text my aunt and say, this is the cool thing, or this really helped us to buy this project. And I just texted her and said, you know what? God knew. Thank you for being used of the Lord, because it took care of the car repairs. It took care of the washer dryer. And that we wouldn't have been able to purchase on our own. And it's like, you know, sometimes I'm like, God, I asked you to provide. I probably should have asked you to get ahead. Because you're just meeting my prayer. But we called on the name of the Lord. And I've seen it. I've seen it. And I want to encourage you, call on the name of the Lord. He will provide. There's something brewing right now, and it's going to be another cool story just in the last month or two. Same type of thing. Like, God, if this is what you want us to do, we need the finances. And God has just dropped the finances in place. We're like, okay, Lord, now I'm going to actually go home and pray. Lord, help us to get ahead. And the Lord's going to be like, nah, I agreed to the first thing. But God will provide. But I want to encourage you, if you need healing, call on his name. Trust in his name. If you need direction, man, call on his name. Stop trying to figure it all out on your own, because he will guide you. And you may say, well, I've been waiting for 2 years for the answer. Yeah, that was us. I've been there. Lord, what do we do for our family? Maybe we just are supposed to be no kids in our family. And look, God was silent. And then one day, God spoke. And now it's like, Lord, I wish we had just been those parents that, or didn't it happen? No, I'm just joking. For this child, I pray. What a great scripture and curse. No, I'm just joking. It's a blessing. But we had to wait. And I look back, and I've said this so many times, the timing, it was just like, and everything just on through. God knew more than we knew the timing, how it works. And so I want to encourage you, call on the name of Jesus. There's power. Whatever it is, if you feel like he's not there, call on him. Why? Because he's Jehovah. Which one was it? Roi. And he sees you. He's there. He'll provide. He'll be healer. And man, if you have not called on his name for salvation and called on his name over your life in baptism, get into it. Get after it. Call on his name. Call on his name. Stand with me. Amen. The power of the name of Jesus. Power of the name of Jesus. Let's just pray that we would, I feel the Lord in this place. Let's just pray that, take the need that you have right now. We all have needs. Take that right now and call his name over it as we pray together right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, the name above every name, the name above every name, the name that brings healing and salvation and deliverance and provision, Lord Jesus, the name that we can call on and you'll be right there. The name when we just whisper, we don't have to shout it, but maybe it's a shout that we need to do, God. A trusting in you, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to trust the timing, God. Trust the season, Lord. Trust every part of, Lord Jesus, our situation. Calling on your name. We trust in you. If Lord, there's anyone who's discouraged, God, this morning, bring encouragement and, Lord, a resolution of the mind. I'm going to continue to lean on your name, the anchor that anchors my soul. I'm going to lean on that name right now. Minister, Lord Jesus, right now. Speak, Lord God, right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I feel the Lord in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, parents, unless you have a 2 or 3-year-old, you don't have to go back to collect your child right now. Please do it right after 12 o'clock. But if you do have a 2 or 3-year-old, you have 4 minutes. And then go pick them. Go to the bathroom. Take care of things. Freedom. Shake someone's hand. Let's greet each other. We're going to go back into our worship set here at 11. Amen. If you see a guest this morning, introduce yourself. Meet them. Make them feel welcome.